here we go, car number three. There's a lot of energy coming out of Gerald. He's quite a man. And his drive is to spread that issue of peace. Who else is doing it? I don't hear anybody talking about it. How many times have I mentioned that of all the stories I read, all the announcements, the press releases, the speech clips I watch, I've not seen one word about withdrawing, standing down, disengagement. Truly, all I see is more arms, more weapons, more death, more destruction. Now that's from the West, which is supposed to be the great peacemaker. No. Russia is going in to stop the slaughter of the Russian citizens living in the Donbass. About 15,000 have been murdered in the 8 years since we overthrew the government there. That's a fact. Putin found out that the 120,000-140,000 man army that's arrayed north to south, you look at a map, that line of demarcation between Donetsk and Luhansk and western Ukraine, they were going to invade, roll right into the cities. You know, they're just 2 miles from the, five miles from the center of Donetsk, which is being shelled apparently daily now. And if he hadn't launched his operation, his special operation, there would be hundreds of thousands of dead Russians now. So he went in to stop that and short-circuit it, and he did. They lost their biggest warship in the Black Sea today, the Moskva, a guided missile cruiser. Big. Actually, it was completely rebuilt. It was a Russian, Soviet-Russian warship, and apparently was hit by one or two Neptune anti-ship missiles of the Ukrainian military. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. It's not calming down. Not at all. With us this hour is a man back for an hour with us. He's been on sabbatical. Dr. Eric Carlstrom, kicking back like in the old days. Huh, Eric? How are you?
Well, it's good to talk to you again, Jeff. I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. You know, watching events like you are with exactly the same kind of take on it. It's truly alarming what's happening on so many different fronts, almost as if it were planned years in ahead, perhaps.
Well, let me tell you, you just said it. It is. It was. It's been planned for decades. This is old stuff. They're just making it happen now. That's my take.
That's my take, too. You know, after I retired from 30 years of teaching at three universities back in 2011, I moved to the beautiful little Shangri-La mountain town of Crestone, Colorado, which, you know, now has about 1,500 people. It's a poor man's Tetons. It's spectacular views. 14,000-foot peaks right behind my house.
Still only 1,500 people? I figured it had boomed by now. There might be 15,000 there. That's amazing. Yeah,
the city mothers have wanted to keep it small. And
Well, good for them.
They have ways of doing that. But that's a long story. But the thing I did when I came to Crestone, I realized that it seemed like things were, you know, kind of under tight control, and I as a citizen had very little chance to influence things, which, of course, is the way we feel in America now. But in a small town, you would think that you would have some influence. So I started doing a little research, and there was a guy back east named Tom DeWeese, who is a conservative commentator. And in the mid-90s, he said something in a speech. He said, Crestone Baca, Colorado, Marie Strong believes is the Vatican City of the New World Order. And I just had to kind of look into that. And so I started writing some articles, and it became a long series on my 911nwo.com website. This is leading to something, Jeff. And the first part of the article is part one, which I sent you, the UN, Marie Strong, Crestone Baca, Colorado, and the New World Religion. And in that piece there, you know, I really did an investigation of this guy who wore so many hats, both as a you know, super capitalist billionaire and as savior of the planet environmentalist. And I quickly realized, you know, from all my reading that this guy had enormous power. He was kind of the mentor of Klaus Schwab in many ways. And, you know, he never graduated from high school, but, evidently he had, strong ties with the, pun there, I guess, with the Rockefeller family and sure. The Rothschilds even. And I was just kind of looking through this article, and I thought it might be interesting to start off with this little snippet from a interview that was conducted with him by West Magazine in 1990 called The Wizard of the Baca Grande.
And 21 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's like 32 years ago. And the reporter is driving down Highway 17, beautiful straight road coming along the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in the San Luis Valley. The great sand dunes are on the right if you're going home to Crestone from Alamosa. And spectacular mountains on both sides of the San Luis Valley, which is a high agriculture valley. And so the Marie Strong, who had moved in and taken over the major control and then bought the Baca Ranch, 12 square miles, Spanish land grant, had tried to export the water from underneath the San Luis Valley and make an estimated $2 trillion a year by selling it to the $2 trillion a year by selling
That's amazing.
This guy was the savior of the planet and a super capitalist who had all kinds of, you know, heads of, you know, Canadian power corporations and Hydro Canada and all kinds of Dome Petroleum. You know, his bio is so amazing. It must have been 50 guys. But anyway, so he's going down. He must have been quite a character. Died supposedly in 2015, I think. But here's from the article, The Wizard of the Baca. He says, the report says, each year the World Economic Forum convenes in Davos, Switzerland. Over 1,000 CEOs, prime ministers, finance ministers, and leading academics gather in February to attend meetings and set the economic agendas for the year ahead. What if a small group of these world leaders were to conclude that the principal risk to the earth comes from the actions of the rich countries? And if the world is to survive, those rich countries would have to sign an agreement reducing their impact on the environment, carbon footprint, of course. Will they do it? Will the rich countries agree to reduce their impact on the environment? Will they agree to save the earth? The group's conclusion is no. The rich countries won't do it. They won't change. So in order to save the planet, the group decides, isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? This group of world leaders form a secret society to bring about a world collapse. It's February. They're all in Davos. They aren't terrorists. They're world leaders. They have positioned themselves in the world's commodity and stock markets. They've engineered, using their access to stock exchanges and computers and gold supplies, a panic. Then they prevent the markets from closing. They jam the gears. They have mercenaries who hold the rest of the world leaders at Davos as hostage. The markets can't close. The rich countries, and the journalist adds, and Strong makes a slight motion with his fingers as if he were flicking a cigarette butt out of the window. I sat there spellbound. He is, in fact, co-chairman of the Council of the World Economic Forum. He sits at the fulcrum of power. He is in a position to do it. So, you know, I mean, this is...
That's 32 years ago.
That's 32 years ago, and
they always tell us in advance, don't they?
Yeah, the ideology, of course, is the same. The idea that you know we've got to reduce the world's population, we've got to remove sovereignties of the nations.
They've been planning this ever from that point or prior to that, right up to the current day, as the computers became more and more powerful, as AI I can't remember when they started to use AI, but AI made a big difference. Anyway, they've gamed this for 20 years. They know what they're doing, exactly what they're doing. So with the help of AI and supercomputers and evil, they pulled this off, or they're pulling it off. I don't know how to stop it.
Well, and we have people like, Yuval Noah Harari, who's,
Tell him who Harari is. He's Klaus Schwab's number one buddy, advisor.
Yeah, and he's kind of the prophet, you might say, of the New World Order. He's given many speeches and talks, which you can get clips on online. And
sure.
His views are very, very radical. I mean, his views are that free will is a thing of the past, and humans are hackable animals, and we don't really need them anymore. We're going to a post-carbon world, we're now in control of evolution.
One thing, when they talk about decarbonizing the planet, a post-carbon world, if you understand their speak, they're talking about people as being carbon units and getting rid of them. That's true. It's not
Absolutely.
Just a rumor. That's how they think.
That is how they think. And I listened to your interview with Gerald just now, and you hit on a lot of these very, very key points. These people don't give a fig about us. It's all about the money. That's their god, I suppose. And we are the exchangeable, expendable units. They do regard themselves as our slave masters and our owners. And this has become more and more and more apparent. And when a guy like Yuval Noah Harari, who must be about 5 foot, five and 102 pounds, dripping wet, he's plotting the end of humanity.
That's not an overstatement, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what he's doing. Humanity as we've known it, no doubt.
I mean, there's got to be some pushback. I mean, anybody could push this guy over with a feather. But why does this guy have so much clout? Why does he get the microphone? Why? Well, it's a tight group. It's a cabal. It's a group that with a historic plan to have dominion over the earth and have all the treasure of the world in their possession, and then either remove or enslave everybody else. And it sounds so bizarre and conspiratorial, but indeed it is quite conspiratorial. It's a long-term plan, and we see that with the UN and UN Agenda 21, which was supposedly written by Marie Strong, and that morphed into UN Agenda 2030, which is what's unraveling now. And it is, it's communism masked in environmental clothing, or you might say it's a watermelon environmentalism, green on the outside and red on the inside.
Here's a quickie. Yuval Harari is an Israeli public intellectual, historian, and a professor in the Department of History at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He is the author of Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow, and 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. There you go. That's who he is. Another one of them. Why are we surprised? Why are we not surprised?
This is great that you brought that up. Okay, those two titles of those books, Homo Deus, well, what does that mean? It means man is God now. Homo would be the position of the genus, and the species would be Deus, which presumably is those guys. They want immortality and omniscience. So the whole idea is coming right back to the book of Genesis, where the serpent says, surely you shall not die and you shall be as gods. So this particular group is quite convinced that it's possible now technologically to extend life to the point of even perhaps immortality. That's, of course, Ray Kurzweil's thing, and has been since the 60s. And I'm sure you've been all over that. You know all about that. But these guys aren't kidding around. There's another
name for it. 5 billion injected on this planet are probably heading out the door fairly soon. They're not kidding around, not at all. And they want to come up with a way to get rid of most of the rest that they didn't catch in the first big dragnet. They got things. They got agendas to push. And they got all the technology that you could imagine and then some to do it with.
It's really so staggering that it's hard to believe. Sapiens, by the way, means wise. So Homo sapiens literally means wise man. And so his idea, I guess, is that the wise will prevail and become Homo Deus, or gods on earth. Well, of course, those who try to become, you know, play God become devils. And so that is actually the reality of what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with people who I think have rejected God. In fact, if you look at the title of so many of Harari's speeches, he has, you know, things, titles like, God has already died, but it takes a while, you know, to dispose of the body, you know, things like that, you know. And right. And he says, you know, the Jesus and the resurrection is fake news. And so he's very provocative. And I suppose if you were, of the same mindset, you would find him very inspiring. But
here's the point. He's not an Irishman. He's not a Hindu. Right. He's not a Samoan. Just happens to be another one of the tribe. And right. You got to think about it. You. I'm not knocking anybody here, but these people have an affinity to unbridled power. Think about it.
Well, that's for sure. And you know, I don't know. We, you know, these it's not cool, of course, to say anything anti-Semitic. But I did get a little graphic that someone sent me, and it said, I don't, maybe you've seen it. Every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish, it says. And then it goes through the names. CD director Rochelle Walensky, Jewish.
Look at the names. Come on. What? Okay. I've done this before. I could do it again. 0.37% of the world population, and only a small percentage of them are actually involved in this world cleansing project. You got to tip your hat, at least in terms of recognizing the overwhelming achievement of power and hegemonization of the planet. It's incredible what one little group has done by controlling the money. That tells you something about the baseline greed genetics of humanity. They're greedy. And you want to control them? Give them a few toys and let them think that they're in charge of their own destiny. You control them. That's simplified, but you get the idea.
Yeah, well, you know, it is a phenomenal accomplishment. So, like you say, you have to tip your hat. I mean, but this graphic goes down the, you know, the CDC deputy director and Shuchat Jewish, CDC chief of staff Sherry Berger Jewish, CDC chief medical officer Mitchell Wolf Jewish, CDC director Washington office Jeff Rezek Jewish, COVID czar Jeff Zients, Jewish, COVID senior advisor Andy Slavitt, Jewish, Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, Jewish, Health and Human Services Assistant Health Secretary Rachel Levine, the transgender guy who's really Richard Levine, who's wearing a dress and has long hair, head of Pfizer, Albert Bourla.
Bourla. The former head of Moderna, Bonsell, who has vanished after selling a lot of his stock. It's all the same people. It's a fact. It's like looking at rocks and saying there are rocks over there. It's a fact.
Yeah. Pfizer chief scientist Michael Dolstein, Jewish. Moderna chief scientist Tal Zaks, Jewish. BlackRock CEO, the guy who owns $10 trillion in assets and now more or less controls the world, Larry Fink, Jewish. BlackRock president Rob Capito, Jewish. Vanguard CEO Mortimer J. Buckley, Jewish. And BlackRock and Vanguard are the two largest shareholders of both Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it is quite astonishing that they get their people in the positions of power. And then, of course, they are collectivists. They are always for their cause. And, you know, we in the West, we're brought up to be kind of individualists, you know, and competition and that sort of thing. So we don't think in the same way as the tribe people do, apparently. They have a mission. And the mission is
right.
to to conquer right. the earth and to take it.
Right, right. And they're at the 11th hour, and that in that act right now, they're moving for the kill, literally.
Yeah. Of course, the Ukraine connection is quite interesting because Zelensky is also Jewish, and he's what the comedian, homosexual pervert, whatever he is. But he's talking about Ukraine being the big Israel, and so they're talking about moving a large portion, or maybe all of Israel, over to Ukraine, which of course is the geographic area where the kingdom of Khazaria was.
The Khazars. That's where they. That's right. I have a theory that the Khazars are trying to kind of eliminate the Mideastern genetic Jews who are living in Israel for the most part. That's why Israel is the most vaxxed country in the world, and last year's death rate in Israel was 10 times higher than the year before. So who's dying? I'd be willing to bet you anything it's not the Khazar Jews. It's the Sephardic. So you could call them Semitic Jews, I guess. Those who trace their lineage back to the biblical days in the Mideast. It's a different group. Khazars, they didn't pick this up until the 600s, remember, when the Khazar Empire decided to adopt Judaism over Christianity and Islam as the official state religion, which they did. And when the Khazar Empire fell apart and they fled, they took Judaism with them. They went into Eastern Europe. It's a fact. Look it up. Read it. So, you know your controllers. Know who they are.
Well, I didn't know any of this stuff, Jeff, until I started researching because, of course, I was busy being a physical geography professor and studying that stuff. But then I discovered Tex Mars, and I started listening to his Power Problem program.
Tex.
And he talked a lot about this, and he had the courage to do that. And he gave out the word Tikkun Olam, which is the Hebrew word for reinvent the world or reimagine the world.
And all right. Let me ask you to pause on that. I've got to take a break. Hold on, please. Reinvent the world, conquer the world, terraform the world, reconfigure the world, and then run the world like a plantation or whatever. But that's exactly right. Let's revisit that in just a minute. Hold on. Be right back. Carlstrom. If you would, Eric, rewind and let's go back and pick that up. It's very important. They call it Tikkun.
Tikkun Olam. That's T-I-K-K-U-N.
Yeah.
One word. And then Olam, O-L-A-M. And that means to reinvent or reimagine the world. And, you know, what we hear is, of course, words just to that effect coming from Klaus Schwab.
They use the word reimagine often.
Yeah.
They use that term. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah, and that's what the Great Reset is. It's really Tikkun Olam. It's the Jewish utopia. So what we're seeing played out in front of our eyes, I believe, and I don't mean to diss anybody here, but this is just like you say, it's just the facts. We need to know what's going on. It's a very confusing time unless you understand that there's a 3,000-year-old plan that's being pulled out, and these people really don't have your best interests in mind, but they have a tribe, and they have a commitment to their own people. But like you say, they don't mind to get rid of certain of their own.
Oh, don't forget the idea that when you're born, your birth certificate is a stock certificate, and those are all sold on their big market. And invested in, and when you die, they cash you in. This is true. Bank of International Settlements. I've been told all about it. And you are a piece of stock. They've spent thousands of years working this out, slowly but surely, controlling the money in this country, in that country. When you control the money, you control the politics. Control the politics, you control the education. Control that, you control the future. The best way to predict the future is to create it. Remember, this is all being done by plan. You don't forget that. Nothing's left to chance. And now they have supercomputers with AI, and they can game all this stuff, and they have. And they know plus or minus 1% or 2% what's going to happen before they roll out whatever they're rolling out. Now it's snake venom in the drinking water, for God's sakes. No, it's not that. It's your digestive bacteria are infected with mRNA or the spike, and that's where a lot of this is coming in the human body. It's coming from the bacteria. It's been infected. And that's why antibiotics work in some cases. We'll get more into this as the days go by, but when Eric is here next time, we'll talk more about that. But it's true, and it's a fact. And you could see how they've done it. It's taken a long time, but they had the vision, and they had the patience, and they've got the smarts. And we kick back, and we're happy with the toys they let us have, and thought we were free.
Yeah, I think that's just an accurate assessment, Jeff. I mean, I'm not trying to diss anybody. In fact, I would agree with Revelo P. Oliver, who wrote a book called The Jewish Strategy, that, you know, hey, they've done a, you know, brilliant job of doing this, and they look at us as kind of in the way, you know, and maybe a little bit dangerous getting out of control once in a while, like with Hitler's Germany, you know. And so therefore, you know, one of his chapter 10, I believe, is just called Extermination. And chapter 8 or 9 was conspiracy as instinct. And he talks about how...
See, that's fascinating. Conspiracy as an instinct. That's what they do. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and he talks about it like it's like, you know, you have a pack of wolves that knows how to, you know, kind of corner the elk and bring it down. He said, but much smarter and much cagier. You know, they just know what they're about because they have this singular mission, which is defined for them to a large extent, let's face it, in the Old Testament, you know, where it says utterly destroy the, you know, and take all their goats and pigs and kill all the men and then, you know, do what you want with the women. I mean, it says that a lot, especially in the Pentateuch books like Deuteronomy. I mean, and this is brought out very well in a book called The Controversy of Zion by Douglas Reed, who is a brilliant British war correspondent. He wrote this finished it in 56, published it in 76, and I think he was offed within a couple years of that. But it's about 600 pages, and it is well worth reading twice if you want to understand the world we live in. It's called The Controversy of Zion. Another one is this Revelo P. Oliver's book called The Jewish Strategy, very easy to get online, very short and profound. And then this third book I recommended by Tex Mars called The Holy Serpent of the Jews, The Rabbi's Secret Plan for Satan, which is one of their many gods, to crush their enemies and vault the Jews to global dominion. See, the Jews don't really believe in one God. They believe in many gods, and the main god is Ein Sof, who's this kind of distant, remote God who doesn't really care about what's going on down here. But then they have their tree of life, Sephiroth thing, you know, and you know, all the Kabbalistic, magical, satanic rituals that they do. And really, their main scriptures are the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, and the Kabbalah, which is, again, the darkest black magic that's ever been written on the planet for how to get Satan to do, you know, to help you do your will. So, you know, it's perhaps small wonder that many of these people would actually be possessed by that very entity. At least that's what I believe. I believe it's a matter of getting power. I mean, you're making a deal, right? It's like Jesus rejected the deal up on the mountain.
That's right.
And a lot of these people took the deal. Yes, okay, I'll worship you. Just give me all the kingdoms of the earth. Yes, siree. Sounds good to me. You know. So, you know, I don't envy them. I wouldn't trade places with them. But at the same time, I don't particularly want them to succeed. I'm not willing to sit back and say, well, you know, we just have to wait for the angels to come and bundle and burn all the, you know, terrors, and we, the wheat, will just, I think we have to do something about it, Jeff. I think we need to resist. We think we need to stand in the gap and pray to God, but keep rowing to shore. And that means knowing your enemy and knowing best how then to counter the attacks. Look at the attacks on our country now. I mean, all this transgender stuff, and you know, it's been
going
on.
Every one of those is an attack. The destruction of our culture, our entertainment, our intellectual ethos, our government, our education, all attacks, all of them.
See, well, that of course is a gigantic diversion. It's a screen, because the real problem is this incredible Jewish superiority complex. They are the racists. In fact, they ran the slave trade back in the early days, 1600s, 1700s. That's
and
well
if
known.
Blacks want slavery reparations, they should go to Tel Aviv and start picketing.
Yes, go to the Jews. Don't go to the people of California. They didn't enslave the blacks, but the Jewish bankers did. In Holland and in Europe and whatnot. I mean, there have been so many lies that have come down to us as part of the Jewish strategy. Is of course is they build a world of lies, and it's up to us to have the smarts, I believe, to kind of cut through those. It's like punching your way out of spider webs of lies. In fact, there's a great comment that Revelo P. Oliver makes about that. He says, when the Jews come into a country, and of course they've been kicked out of 109 countries for this reason over the last 2,000 years, when they come into a country, what they do is they typically buy up and control the media so as to control the people's minds, and then wrap them in a web, like a spider web of lies. And then he says it won't be long before they administer the poison. And gosh, the injection seemed like a pretty good analogy there to just what he talked about back in a book he wrote in 1980.
Exactly. Wow, how interesting. Yeah.
But to get an idea.
Once again, it's not against the law to understand what's being done on the planet. And it's becoming very apparent that even an average effort should yield the results that we're talking about here in terms of knowledge and awareness of who, what, where, when, why, and how. They're doing it.
Right. And, some guy who was, a conscientious put together little 3-minute clips of Yuval Noah Harari's different talks, and he put them on band.video, which is Alex Jones' channel. And I loaded them onto a post on my website, Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults. I'll just read a few titles of these things. God, this quoting Yuval Noah Harari, professor at Jerusalem University. God is dead. It just takes a while to get rid of the body, says WEF advisor. And then the next one is the easiest people to manipulate are people that believe in free will. The next one is what to do with useless people. My recommendation is drugs and computer games. The next one is Dr. Jane Ruby asks, who is steering and leading the Great Reset? The next one is, Pope was very helpful to push climate change and Jesus and Bible is fake news. Next one, Hitler and Stalin would be nothing compared to the combination of AI and biotech. Well, he's being honest there. He says, Earth will be dominated by inorganic creatures, silicon-based, of course. This is what they have in mind. Implementing a central command economy and digitally based eternal life. There he lays it out. So, you have to admit sometimes they're very honest. Upgrading humans into gods is the next one, and shifting authority from humans to algorithms. Hey, that's not the world I want, Jeff. I don't know about you. So I vote against it. How do we vote against this?
Damn good question. When I study the various groups, not intensely, but when you understand that Jerry Kushner and the princess are Lubavitchers, and you read Rabbi Schneerson, the founder, read some of Schneerson's pronouncements about us. We're garbage under their feet. So how do you fight against that? I don't know. I don't have the answer. I just say, know and understand what's happening around you is certainly the first step. And if you don't know or don't want to know, give it up. Your choice.
Yeah, this thing about racism is very interesting because, of course, now the Department of Homeland Security, which is basically a beachhead of the international Zionist racketeering group, according to, Veterans Today's Preston James, PhD, they say white terrorism is the main problem, white racism is the main problem in America, and they are terrorists. Well, that's obviously a dodge, because the whites really aren't racist. you know, I mean, everybody has a certain, you know, in-group identification. And I'm sure there's some, you know, white racists around, but it's nothing like the Jewish racism, which is taught to all Jews that they are superior. And then they have their, you know, their sacred days like the Purim holiday where they celebrate how Queen Esther manipulated the king into, you know, killing off 75,000 of the Jews' enemies. And then they make little cookies and put blood in them that represent the guy that they hung twice or something like that, who was the enemy of the Jews. So it's like, you know, it's us against the world. It's this is the mentality for this tribe. And it's not based on love. It's not based on the golden rule. It's based on hate. So, you know, if you want to know the origin of hate speech, it's coming from this religion, which encourages hate. Now, Christianity encourages love, and the other religions certainly do a pretty good job of doing that, I think. But this one, if you look into it, and as Tex Mars has, and as Michael Hoffman has, who Tex Mars has, and who, Michael Hoffman wrote a long book called Judaism Discovered, where he goes into the Talmud and shows, proves this.
That book is pretty well banned, I understand.
I've got a copy, and yeah. I think I've got two copies.
Hoffman is quite a scholar, and that was quite a book, yeah. I understand. I didn't read it, but I sure miss Tex. Miss Jimmy, too. They were not related. They had the same last name. But Tex Mars, I have... Someone sent me a copy of the program I did with Tex from 2014. I'll see if I can find it and send it to you. I had it posted for quite a while.
It was I probably have it on my website, yes.
you do? Oh, good. He talked all about Ukraine. He nailed it.
Oh, yes. Well, Tex would know just about everything that's happening. He was very much, he did the first big book on robots, and he's done so much on the Illuminati. Really, this is the Illuminati, you know, secret society, which runs the Masons, which, you know, has basically is a Jewish secret society at core, but not all of the members are Jewish. Others are involved, but of course they're all based on these degrees, and the top degrees would be the Jews, and they would control, and of course they would have pledged themselves to Satan. So, you know, there really is a satanic component to this. I do believe Satan's in charge of this. So we're dealing with powers and principalities as well as individuals, who have evidently tapped into the powers and principalities in order to get what they want on the planet Earth. It's sad, because I think their fate is grim. But meanwhile, they're going for term benefits.
I don't think it ends here. I think there's you can call it a treaty. You can call it an agreement. You can call it whatever you want, a contract. I think there's an agreement with a so-called off-planet species, which is quite here on the planet all the time. We just don't see it. And I don't think it ends with humanity in terms of a power structure here. I think it goes further than that. And I was told it does at one point. But we'll leave it at that. I look at this spike protein in this mRNA vaccine. It's the spike. It's the spike. And this thing is so diabolical, as we have explained so many times on the program, that you just can't quite conjure up the whole thing being created by humans. I think there was some input, suggestions. I'm not saying necessarily technology, but this is an evil, killing thing, this protein. It's got so many pathways to take down a living entity, kill it. It's not a joke. It's bad. Everyone who's gotten a shot, potentially, will have terminal AIDS soon. That's why cancer is running rampant. The immune deficiency syndrome is taking over. You got no defense against cancer or any dozens of other major diseases. It's the same as HIV/AIDS, but maybe even worse, frankly. I don't know. But don't let them kid you. They've dropped the HIV thing for the time being. It's AIDS. It is AIDS, but it's not HIV/AIDS. It doesn't matter. You have no immune system. How better to kill off 5 billion people, or 6 billion, or however many. When they've killed enough and they want to stop, they'll just roll out the antidote. They've got one. They never would have released this if they didn't. Anyway, that's my view.
Yes, I agree. I've just kind of pulled up a quote from The Controversy of Zion, Douglas Reed, as very telling quote, I think. Page 195, it says, "The simultaneous triumph of Bolshevism in Moscow and Zionism in London in the same week of 1917 were only in appearance distinctive events. The two forces fulfilled correlative tenets of the ancient law, pull down and destroy, rule over all nations. The one destroyed in the East, that'd be communism in Russia, and the other secretly ruled in the West. The controlling group was so preponderantly Jewish," I was talking 1916-17, "that it may be called Jewish. The nature of the instigating force was further identified by its deeds. The character of its earliest enactments, a symbolic mockery of Christianity, and a special mark of authorship deliberately given to the murder of the monarch. All these bore the traits of a Talmudic vengeance." So there's this notion of, we've got to get back at them. We've got to even the score. We've got to kill them. There's this hate that, frankly, as you know, growing up in America and in my family, I can't understand it. But apparently this is a conditioning which this particular group shares and is willing to act upon and is clever enough to get other people to sign on. You know, I mean, I'm sure all the people, the med doctors are not all, you know, of the tribe, but somehow they get pulled into this through, you know, carrots and sticks, bribes.
Bribes, blackmail, threats,
yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But it's basically ultimately appealing to the weakness of whites, and that's greed. They can get anybody by paying them off. Everyone seems to have a price, whether it's house and two cars or whatever. There are not many people that can stand on principle and say no, and for those that do, there's often a bullet waiting for them. So think about it. They kill people all the time. Look how many doctors have been killed in the last 5, 10 years. Really seriously, think about it. A lot of good doctors. Naturopaths,
yes.
Other people, scientists. That Chinese doctor that I ran a story on yesterday, Bing Lao Xing or something.
Ooh, he was something a,
Yeah. He knew. He was on the verge of finding out some very important things about this spike. And he was shot multiple times, and then the guy that shot him allegedly went out to his car and shot himself. Come on. Anyway, too many people suicided, too many people murdered. They kill people all the time. Wow. It's a take no prisoners. We're going to do this, and you're not going to stop us. That's how they're approaching it.
Yes. Yeah, and it is certainly War of the Worlds. But the importance of the quote that I just read, Jeff, is a little deeper. It actually says that, okay, in the same week, Zionism is triumphant in London because the Balfour Declaration, the letter by Lord Balfour to one of the Rothschild lords, saying right. We will allow you to have Palestine, you know, for the Jews. And so that's the Zionism aspect of this, is that you build up the Zionist superstate as the world controller. And then simultaneously in Bolshevism, communism is established as the other side of the coin, and that's to destroy the other countries. So all the other countries get destroyed with communism. Mm-hmm. Zionism builds up the fascist superstate in Israel. And then what he's also saying here, and it's not in that quote, but what he's also saying is that British American government.
Say that again, Eric. You got the music blocked
your
voice.
British and the American governments have been controlled by these forces ever since 1917. I think that's a pretty interesting observation and something worth checking out, because it seems to me it might be true. In other words, our nations have been controlled by this double-sided coin, communism, Zionism, of this dominant sect, as it were.
True. No argument there. All right, that's a very factual look at the situation that we are all in. And I don't know how anyone can look at it much differently, frankly. So thank you for sharing that, Eric. It was very good having you back. We'll talk to you soon again.
Excellent. Yeah, great to talk to you, Jeff. Hang in there, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks, Eric. Okay, good night. Dr. Eric Carlstrom. All right, gang. Friday tomorrow. Wow, another week. Whoosh, gone. Take care, and I tell you again, prepare. We'll talk tomorrow.